Hello, this is Liz Dunshi, Managing Editor of CCR Corp. Welcome to our podcast. I'm talking today with Megan Nelson, Associate General Counsel of Corporate and Assistant Corporate Secretary of Veeva Systems, about Veeva's recent conversion to a public benefit corporation. Welcome, Megan, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Liz, so much for having me. I'm very excited about the recent conversion, and I'm just so happy to be able to talk about it to this audience. I wanted to give just a quick background on Veeva in case, you know, people on the call or, you know, people out there haven't heard of us. We are a leader in the cloud-based software for the global life sciences industry. So we work with pharmaceutical companies and other life sciences companies and provide the software that they use to both market their drugs or other molecules, as well as the research and development aspect of their business.
Thank you. That's very helpful background. And why we're here today is because you reached out, thank you, to share that Veeva had become the first public company to convert to being a public benefit corporation under Delaware law. And you had 99% of voting stockholders support that move at a special meeting last month. And then the conversion just recently became effective. Now, Veeva had announced back in September that the company had formed a board committee to explore that possibility, and then you moved pretty quickly forward with calling the meeting. So could you talk a little bit about how this came to be on the board's agenda and what advantages were identified?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, first off, what you've seen publicly in terms of our announcement in September and then moving forward to the January meeting, you know, that's just the public face of this whole process. So, you know, taking a step back to, you know, really the very beginning, we've always been a values-based company. And the narrowness of corporate duties that you list in your Delaware charter, you know, never sat well with our founder and CEO, Peter Gassner. So, you know, back in 2007, he had been not super happy with the, you know, just the blanket statement that we tend to put into corporate charters. So, you know, and even when we went public in 2013, Peter elaborated on this long-term view of Veeva in his founder letter in our IPO prospectus.
Wow.
His focus was to, he's been very consistent throughout, and it's great to see it come to where we are now. His focus was to create a company that delivered significant value to our customers, employees, partners, and investors. So even back in 2013, we were identifying multiple stakeholders to the success of the company. But getting back to the PBC structure, you know, we became aware of the PBC structure when drafting our corporate citizenship statement a few years, you know, after we went public. And that really started our thinking process and started conversations with our CEO and board chair. And then it became a more formal topic of board discussion, with the board having deep conversations about the benefits and risks of such a conversion. You know, and I said this earlier, but, you know, Veeva really sees this conversion to a PBC is consistent with our core values and how we already have been operating the company. You know, we're becoming essential to an industry that's critical to human life.
Mm-hmm.
And our public benefit purpose aligns our goals, you know, we believe more closely with our customers and will help us build deeper relationships with those customers and increase loyalty. You know, it'll also help us recruit and retain the best employees. You know, anecdotally, since we have been public about our thought process on this and with the conversion, it's come up in many of our recruiting conversations across the board, not just in the legal department, in terms of people who might be aware of this. It's come up in other functions, you know, engineering,
wow,
you know, and across the board. Yeah, there's been so many things recently that just keep reaffirming that we were on the right path. And ultimately, you know, I think that our stockholders will benefit too as we, you know, because we see the pursuit of our PBC purpose and the multi-stakeholder approach is the best way to build long-term value.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't see any trade-off between the conversion and greater stockholder value. And if you want to dig in more on this, it's, you know, it's all laid out in our proxy statement for the special meeting, which we filed in early December. And really, if anybody is interested in pursuing a similar path, I really recommend you to check it out, because there's some good background information in there. But anyway, back to the timeline. Even recognizing these benefits to Veeva, we really didn't know what the reaction would be from large institutional investors. You know, you read voting guidelines and, you know, letters that institutional investors put out there, but when it push comes to shove, you know, we weren't sure exactly how they would vote. So we decided to do the announcement that you referenced last September, that a special committee of the board was looking for feedback on the PBC conversion, and that really allowed us to have more transparent conversations with our stockholders. You know, granted, we likely could have gathered feedback in other Reg FD compliant ways, but the way we approached the stockholder outreach allowed our conversations to be, you know, direct and focused on our rationale for the change. And those conversations were very productive. You know, we were encouraged by the positive feedback we heard in those meetings, and we decided to move forward with a special meeting rather than wait for our annual meeting in June. You know, and we liked the symbolism of making the conversion happen at the beginning of our new fiscal year on February 1st, which is what the January meeting allowed us to do.
Well, it must have gone well, that outreach, because you got 99% approval. And that's an impressive level of approval for any proposal, but especially something unique like this. And you had mentioned your CEO and founder, and I know that he holds a significant amount of stock and was in favor of the conversion. So no doubt that was persuasive to people. But then, like you mentioned, you also have several institutional shareholders. And so was your outreach to the institutional shareholders really just occurring between that initial announcement that you made in September up to the time of the special meeting? And can you talk a little bit about what their reactions were when you told them that you were exploring this possibility?
Yeah, and, you know, thank you. It is, we're all just very happy about both the turnout in terms of the number of shares that voted and of those that voted, the number that voted in favor of our proposals. It's just really great and exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we really did want to get the perspective of our long-term holders, as I mentioned. You know, they are key stakeholders for Viva. And so after our press release, we reached out to our top 20 holders, proxy advisory firms like ISS and Hermes, and some other thinkers in this area. We also took calls from other investors, you know, that reached out to us, because there was sort of, you know, there's two-way communication on that. And in almost all of those meetings, you know, Viva was represented by a member of our board. So sometimes it was Peter, sometimes it was another board member. And I think that was important for investors to hear from and speak directly to the board. Mm-hmm. We also had legal, IR, investor relations, you know, and our CFO on those calls to respond to questions. And we were very strategic about who we contacted at each investor. And I believe we were in touch with the right people at those firms to tell our story. And to get to your point about reactions, you know, they varied. You know, on one hand, there were some that were very informed and positive. So one investor started our meeting by holding up a handwritten sign in his Zoom screen that said, "Proud of Viva," which was kind of fun. Yeah. And then others, you know, were a bit more, you know, skeptical and educational. Some had never heard of the PBC structure. So there were, you know, there was an element of what is this? What's the difference between a PBC and certified B Corp? You know, why is this the right decision for Viva? And why is this the right thing for stockholders? So the questions really varied across the board. And we did, you know, and I think this was really smart. We did try to address investor concerns about financial results in our September press release by reconfirming our long-term guidance. Mm-hmm. We also were able to address it, you know, right off the bat, but then it also allowed us to have the conversations about that, you know, in these calls. And I definitely think that helped, and, you know, as did our track record of performance. You probably can tell by my tone, but I will say that candidly, we were surprised at just how overwhelming the stockholder support was when the final results came in. And it was just a wonderful outcome. And wow. I believe it shows that investors were ready for a company to do what we did.
That's very interesting. That you were surprised. That's a happy surprise. And the result obviously is, I think you probably weren't alone in being surprised, I guess, is
the way I would say it. For some investors, you know, they were, it was clear, you know, which way they were leaning in terms of voting. But for some, you know, they didn't really, you know, indicate which way they were going to go. So it, you know,
obviously
had
to think about it because it is a unique issue.
And I think that a lot of them were waiting for ISS, not a lot, but some of them were waiting for ISS and Glass Lewis to come out with their recommendations, which did come, you know, did come out favorably for us. But yeah, we were, it's just a great result.
Good. Well, let's talk about the practical aspects of the conversion. What are you doing from a state corporate law perspective to effect it? And are you planning many changes to your board committees and SEC disclosures to reflect the broader stakeholder focus?
Yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned, we effected the conversion this last Monday by filing an amendment to our charter with Delaware to include the specific public benefits of providing products and services that are intended to make the industries we serve more productive and creating high value or high quality employment opportunities in the communities in which we operate. So that is a direct quote from our charter. And because of the voting threshold required to make changes to this benefit, we wanted to make sure that it was broad enough to be sufficiently durable, you know, even if our business changed, because you know, who knows where the, you know, where our business is going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I should note that at the special meeting, our stockholders also voted to declassify our board. So we handled that on Monday as well. We also, you know, as you can imagine, updated our bylaws, corporate governance guidelines and code of conduct, each of which, anyone listening to this or really anybody, you can find on our website and, you can see what changes we made there. And for now, the whole board will handle decisions around setting our PVC metrics, but that may change in the future. And so, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, we see the PVC conversion, and I feel like I keep harping on this point, but it's a really important point for us. We see the PVC conversion as aligning our charter to how we were already running the company. Mm-hmm. So PVC conversion better aligns our legal responsibilities to our core values, which are do the right thing, customer success, employee success and speed, and, you know, our approach to decision making. You know, what the PVC does change is the legal duty of our board going forward to balance the interests of all stakeholders for every important company decision and to pursue our public benefit purpose. Now, our board has been evaluating potential PVC metrics, you know, during the course of the, you know, the conversations on this, and we'll set them at their upcoming meeting, their upcoming quarterly meeting. I expect our proxy statement disclosure to change, you know, to reflect more of a broader stakeholder focus, but I really don't foresee a wholesale change to disclosure this year. That would come next year when we issue our first report on how we've done against our PVC obligations. And, you know, we disclosed this in our proxy statement for the special meeting, but you know, although Delaware law allows us to issue our PVC report every 2 years and then only to stockholders, we plan to do an annual report and make it available publicly on our IR website.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and also in our proxy statement for the special meeting, we outlined various factors that we're taking. We're very transparent about this. So we outlined various factors that we're taking into consideration when setting the metrics. And we're also taking the feedback from our stockholder engagement into consideration because our stockholders, they did have opinions on things that they would like to see. So, you know, we're taking that into consideration as well. And then, you know, one final sort of practical point is we do expect to add headcount in the short term to help with the reporting effort, both to manage the report, you know, because we don't have, right now, we didn't have a sustainability, you know, some companies will have sort of a sustainability function. We don't have one of those right now, but we're adding headcount to sort of address those sorts of things.
And your legal department? Or can you say?
It's actually going to be part of our investor relations department.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it'll work closely with the corporate legal department, and this headcount will be, you know, to manage the report that we'll publish next year, you know, make sure that we're tracking everything appropriately. But it'll also be to interface with our customers about what this change means for them. You know, it'll be good to have sort of one person to point our customers to if they have more detailed questions. So I'm excited that we're going to have a dedicated resource to this.
Yeah, that is good. So a lot of companies would probably say that they take into account the perspectives of all stakeholders, even when they're just operating under a quote unquote normal charter. But maybe there are some constraints in that that others would explore abandoning. So do you think that PBC conversions will become a trend?
You know, I hope they do. Since our special meeting last month, you know, we've taken calls from a few other companies considering converting, and I know our outside council has as well. And I was just at the SRI, you know, remote conference last week, and it sounds like some of the other attorneys that were presenting have also gotten questions. So, you know, that's also that's exciting to hear that there's, you know, people are starting to have these conversations, or I wouldn't say starting, they're continuing to have these conversations. I do think it's been helpful, you know, that the Business Roundtable and other corporate pledges have pushed the conversation forward in a positive way, you know, creating more awareness for the multi-stakeholder approach. And, you know, I also hope that our conversations with investors and the education we did last fall has done the same. You know, in addition, a big change that happened last year was that Delaware reduced the voting threshold to be able to affect a PBC conversion. It went from a two-thirds vote to 50, you know, simple majority. And I think that'll make it easier for companies to get the vote. You know, I also, you know, I think that seeing a public company, seeing us do it without negative ramifications in the stock market should also provide comfort.
Yeah, those are all good points. Do you have any advice for in-house lawyers or outside counsel who might be advising clients on whether to convert to a PBC?
Yeah, you know, thanks for asking this question. You know, as an attorney, I do have a few points of advice. I feel like we can't help ourselves, much to our family member and friend's chagrin, I'm sure. But, you know, I think the most important one is, you know, have a compelling story. Have a compelling why. You know, the rationale for conversion and your public benefit purpose should be consistent with your values and your strategy. You know, this you know, helps investors understand how conversion is in their best long-term interest. Find the right partners who can help you get in front of the right investor audience and navigate the SEC process. You know, as I, you know, we did do a couple rounds in terms of the SEC did comment on our preliminary prospectus or preliminary proxy statement. And our advisor, you know, Joel Frank and outside counsel Wilson Sonsini were indispensable in this whole endeavor. You might also, you know, I just alluded to this, but you should read our proxy statement and compare the preliminary proxy statement to the definitive to see how we responded to SEC comments. Those comments, as of, you know, you and I talking right now, aren't public yet. But we responded to their concerns, or we addressed their concerns via additional disclosure. So if you run a red line, you can see sort of where they were pressure testing.
That's helpful to know.
Yeah. And then finally, you know, if anybody wants to talk about the PBC decision-making process or technical conversion matters in more detail, I'm really happy to talk to really anybody considering it. You know, we hope that we'll be the first of many companies to take this path.
I love it. Well, thank you for that advice and for sharing your story today. And like I mentioned at the beginning, Megan actually reached out to me to share about the conversion and to suggest talking more about it. And so I think that's really great that you're kind of out advocating for this too and helping to educate people on that. So I appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Thanks to everyone who's listening to this podcast. And we'll talk later.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, Liz. I think that the work that you all do at thecorporatecouncil.net is very helpful, and I really appreciate the chance to talk about our important milestone to this audience.
Thank you.